Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
In Exodus chapter 3, we have this account of Moses at the burning bush. And the Lord was teaching Moses something fundamental here before he would lead the children of Israel into the wilderness toward the promised land. And remember what happened here. The Lord had appeared. We looked at this yesterday. The angel of the Lord, the angel Yahweh, appeared to him as a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And what Moses was struck with when he looked at this is that the bush was not consumed. So the fire was in the bush, the fire was in the Sina, as it is in the Hebrew, this thorn bush, and it was not consumed. And so I said yesterday, the fundamental issue that the Lord is going to teach and the Lord is showing all of us is the need for a mediator. How in the world can we come into the presence of a holy God and Him not consume us? How could this mystery of the Lord being among His people and not consuming them, how could that be a reality? Moses was drawn to this. So think of the whole picture here. God was teaching Moses, do not come near Moses. Take your sandals off your feet. You are on holy ground. It's an amazing picture here, amazing scene of the Lord in His utter holiness and Him keeping Moses at a distance. What did the removal of shoes really expose? Well, his feet would have been filthy in God's presence. In fact, it was at that moment, feet uncovered, that Moses dropped and hid his face. The greater issue Moses was struck with was how could Moses himself be in the presence of God and not be consumed, being so filthy? And when it all of a sudden struck him, what was his response? He hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. You'll notice the emphasis here. Everything would be at a distance. Keep your distance, Moses. Israel, stay away from the mountain. Ultimately, the way of approach would be made clear with the building of the tabernacle. He would first need feet washed, if you will. The tabernacle would show us this. There would be a door. There was an altar. There was a bronze laver. There was a veil. There was a holy place. There was the most holy place. All of which taught that blood had to be shed, the blood of a pure lamb for sinners, to come into God's presence. And the one who would do this would have to be pure. You can understand why John said, "He is preferred before me whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose." My friends, our feet need washing. And you see, in light of the angel who is a consuming fire, coming amidst the bush and not consuming it. How moving is the scene then when the Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, stooped down. Remember in John 13, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, you're washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" The issue was being clean. We understand that because of Christ washing us, there now is no more distance that needs to be. Now we are brought into the presence of God himself. We behold God's glory in the face of Christ. Christ is our covering. The reason the bush did not burn was because Jesus was in the midst of the bush. All needed to be clean, but not all are, says Jesus. All need to be clean. And that is what Moses learned that day. Look, God's burning fire ended up consuming many in Israel. Remember what would happen with the golden calf? God said to Moses in Exodus 33:3, "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." They had made a calf. They had worshipped it. They had said, "This is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." God said, "That's it. My presence is gone, because if I come among you, I will consume you." Remember what happened? In Exodus 33, verse 12, Moses interceded. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." You hear what Moses said? "Look, Lord, you said the angel would come among us." He said, "My presence will go." He's referring to the burning bush. His intercession appeals to the intercessor. He is speaking of Jesus. He's speaking of Christ. And Moses intercedes for his presence to come. It was on that basis that God's presence went among them and did not consume them. You say, "Well, what about all these bodies scattered in the wilderness in God's consuming judgment? When did he consume them?" Well, the golden calf event produced 3,000 souls consumed. Numbers 11:1, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of them in the outskirts of the camp. The consuming happened to some. When? When they rejected the mediator, whom Moses foreshadowed. Hebrews says this, that those who were consumed because of unbelief. Their rejection of the mediator, and my friends, I say this today with all seriousness of heart and in concern. This is why it's so serious to reject Jesus. He is the only one appointed by which men can be saved. Jesus is it. He's the only way, truth, and life. He's the only way by which a sinner can come before God and not be consumed. There are no other saviors. There are no other deliverers. Jesus Christ only. And it's his presence, his righteousness, his life that preserves ours. And so, you know, you say this, and you say this over and over as a minister of the gospel. And you ask this great question then, does your life display that you have either embraced this mediator, Jesus, or rejected him? That is the most important question you could ever be asked and probed to answer. So what a message for us. We're not kept away now as Christians. The mediator has come. He has paid the penalty. We've been given direct access into the Holy of Holies. There's no more distance. Remember, Jesus said, I'm not seeking for worshipers to worship on this mountain or in that mountain. Because of his blood, we are brought right into the holy place in heaven through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give a grand application to this today. Do you think, my friends, that means that we can just be all the more lighthearted about coming into the presence of God? Listen, our joy is full because Christ has paved the way through his blood. And all the more that should make us then what? Want to reverence him and have holy awe before him. Shouldn't being brought into the most holy place, as Hebrews says, having now boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, shouldn't that have some sort of solemnizing effect on us? Some say, well, David danced in a linen ephod. Where did he do that, my friends? In the streets? Yeah, in the streets. You want to dance in an ephod down Main Street, go ahead. But David never did that in the holy place, because if he did, all of Israel would have been commanded to be silent, because David himself would have been consumed. Right now, the message for Christianity is God is among us, as Hebrews reminds us, the book of New Testament Hebrews, as he is among us as a consuming fire. He has not changed. So shouldn't the fact that we are in the most holy place right now make us fear and tremble? This is the great need of the day, my friends. A recovering of the sense of the utter holiness of God, that he is indeed a consuming fire. That we would come like Jacob to Bethel, the house of God, and say, how dreadful is this place? We're so casual with him today. We treat him like just one of the boys. He is God. He is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him and worship him, as Hebrews says, worship him acceptably with reverence and holy awe. Because of Christ making this way for us, we do this. We worship him in spirit and in truth because he is a consuming fire.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in his Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.